Mississippi, and it was simply earth-shattering to witness the power of what nature did upon civilization. And there are many lessons to be learned here, and we welcome to the Schilling Show Emily Chamley Wright, a senior research scholar and a board member at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University on Katrina 10 years later. Emily, welcome to the Schilling Show, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It's my pleasure to be here.
All right. The first thing we need, because this is often described as a natural disaster, and of course there was a natural component here, but it would be perhaps more accurate to describe it as a human engineering failure. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that that's exactly right, especially when we're talking about the impact on New Orleans.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. I mean, the levees failed, but people think that the levees failed because there was just too much on them. Is that the case?
Well, this is not my area of expertise, but, but it is important to recognize that there was many decades of documented graft and corruption around the levee board, as well as mismanaged maintenance of the levees, and so these were problems that stacked upon themselves.
Let's go to the responses, the policy responses from local, state, and federal government. Were these adequate, or were there major failures there?
I think there were major failures, but much of the media response has been, I mean, it's completely understandable how the media response has been focused on a kind of lackadaisical approach. The heck of a job brownie kind of comment is iconic of that. That if the notion seems to be that if only the policy makers and the people who were tasked with responding would have worked harder, that would have solved it. And my colleagues at the Mercatus Center and I have really focused more on the structures in place that are problematic. Even if you've got really dedicated, well-meaning, well-intended people, which there are lots of dedicated, well-intended people who really want to do the right thing, but our structures oftentimes really don't align our incentives to get the right outcomes that we're hoping for.
So let's go to those structures and where they were faulty.
So one of the things that happened immediately following the storm in New Orleans, the assumption was that here you have a city that's flooded. 80% of the city is underwater. Mm. And the assumption is that, well, it's the role of local and state government and federal government to come in and re-engineer the city from the top down, replan it from the, you know, that we have a clean slate. Hey, let's plan it from the sort of organizational and bureaucratic structure from the top. But that's not how communities work. It's not how they work in day-to-day life, and it's not how they get rebuilt either. It is really private citizens, the market itself, but also the intersection of philanthropic, social service organizations, churches, local communities. It's these local entities that really are doing the rebuilding. Now, government and state, local government and state apparatus can really help. They can, for example, get the lights back on as quickly as possible, get road debris removed. But the orientation there would require a totally different paradigm shift. Let's tap the capacity that's there in the community by allowing people as quickly as possible to come back in. That is exactly the opposite of what happened. Instead, the policy environment in large part kept people out and kept people in a state of uncertainty about what the future of their neighborhoods was going to be. And that was really what was problematic in the post-disaster moments, particularly in New Orleans.
And a lot of people, I've heard an interview recently from somebody in Houston, Texas, it might have been the mayor or some official there, talking about many of the people that came from New Orleans and other Katrina refugees landing there in Texas and never going back, and frankly bringing a lot of problems and additional costs into Texas. Could this have been avoided by a different policy?
One of the things that we want to make sure of, if we're going to try to help people in a moment of crisis, we want to make sure that they are connecting to their capacity for self-help. So, for example, one of the things that we were really focusing in on are what are the socially embedded resources that people have to rebound and rebuild. So your networks of family, friends, your work colleagues, for example, are really important to the rebuilding process. But taking it a step back, even just managing the immediate aftermath of the crisis, when buses were lined up and were taking people out of New Orleans, something as simple as a sign that says, this bus is going to Baton Rouge, this bus is going to Lafayette, this bus is going to Houston, would have been enormously helpful because it would have allowed people to say, hey, I've got a cousin who lives in Houston, or I've got a cousin who lives in Baton Rouge, let me get on that bus. But instead, people were corralled in as if they were something other than, you know, human beings, right, into these buses that moved them to places where they didn't know where they were going. When the bus started, they didn't know where they were going to end up. And so when people landed in a lot of these evacuation cities, they landed in a place where they had no social network, no structure to support them. If we tap the capacity that people have to help themselves and to help one another, we help ourselves on the policy environment tremendously. Then we can put our focus in terms of what has to happen at the government level on those things that governments more, you know, has a comparative advantage in doing.
We've got about a minute left. We're talking with Emily Chamley Wright from the Mercatus Center on Katrina 10 years later. If you had to look at all of this and evaluate, have we learned any of the lessons that you outline in your report? Because it seems to me we would probably do the same thing over again the same way.
Well, we did pass the Post-Katrina Emergency Management Reform Act of 2006. And one of the things that was a focus there is that there was this understanding that we need to connect to the quote-unquote whole community in terms of both preparedness and disaster recovery. The problem is, though, there's still very much a top-down paradigm here that says, okay, now let's just bring in community leaders as part of the social engineering task instead of really figuring out how do we tap the capacity within communities so that can be leveraged on a case-by-case, boots-on-the-ground kind of level.
Emily, if people want to visit the Mercatus Center, please tell us how.
Well, you can go to www.mercatus.org.
Terrific. Hey, thanks so much for the update. I hope we learned these lessons and you've outlined them very clearly. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Rob.
It is 1:28 here on The Shilling Show, coming back on the other side.